Ujjal Nilamani, Chapter 3, Krishna's Vallabhas, the Beloveds of Krishna. We're on text 20. And we were describing the Pati, Krishna as a Pati Nayak, or as a married husband of the Queens of Dwarka. And now we're discussing the primary feature of Krishna is as the Parakiya, Parakiya lover of the gopis. So this is text 20. Vamata Dural. Durlabha tvam cha strinam cha nivarana tadeva pancha banasya manye paramam ayudam. One rasic author named Rudra Bhatta, he says, it's describing the qualities of the lady love who's in the mood of Parakiya Bhav. She's married to someone else, but she's Krishna's lover. So she displays these qualities that are translated as coyness, difficult to meet, and rebuking the lover. These are considered to be the ultimate weapon of Cupid. It's the paramam, panchabana paramam ayudam. So panchabana means the person who carries five arrows. That's Kandarpa, Cupid. So there's five arrows, so the form and fragrance and voice and touch and taste of the lover or beloved, which binds their minds and hearts together. So here he's saying that these five arrows, but more than that, is this man paramam ayudam. Pancha bana man paramam ayudam is like Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira means fight, weapon. And parama means the supreme. So the supreme weapon of a lady love is man. In Radharani, she's the manini radha. She regularly employs this weapon of man to attract Krishna and increase and enhance his loving attachment to her. And his loving pleasure, because one of the greatest leelas that Krishna enjoys is the man bhanga leela of breaking Radharani's man. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he discusses these same points in the later chapters. Last five or six chapters of Jiva Dharma are fairly accurate representations of the Ujjala Nilamani. The beginning part of philosophy and tattva, Jiva tattva and other things, there's some variant ideas or readings there which are open to differences of opinion. And Tattva Siddhanta, maybe some slight difference than this mainstream traditional viewpoint of things. But here, when we get into this later chapters where he's analyzing and presenting this whole subject of Rasa Tattva, the Vibhav and Anubhav and Subject-Bhav, hero and heroine, and all these subjects of the Ujjala Nilamani, which is a textbook of prema, a textbook of Raja Prema, Gopi Prema, which ultimately, it's Parakiya. So here, in the very beginning of the 1,000-page book, he's getting right to the description of the Parakiya lover, the paramour lover, the gopis of Krishna. Because the whole book is about Krishna and the gopis and their Madhurya love. So he discusses the same definition he gives here in these words. He says that because it's a novel, there's the guru, the teacher, then there's the student, the shishya and the guru. So the disciple says, "Oh, Babaji Maharaj, I understand the mood and attributes of Krishna as a hero, and I also understand that he performs his eternal pastimes in Pati and Upapati Bhav, as a married husband of Rukmini and Satyabhama and Dwarka, and also as the paramour lover, the extra lover, extramarital lover of Radha and the gopis in Vrindavan." So the student, he's saying, I understand that. He performs pastimes in Dwarka and Pati Bhav, and Brajapuri and Upapati Bhav. Pati means husband, and Upapati means additional, another one. So it is essential for us to know about the Brajaramanis, the charming young gopis. And then he says this. he's saying Rudra Bhatta. As Bhatta is, of course, the name of a Brahmin, like Gopal Bhattacharya, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Rudra is the first name of some Brahmin. And here he's saying Sri Rudra, which would imply Shiva or Shankar. Or maybe it's also him, it's hard to say. Sri Rudra, who is highly knowledgeable in the subject of Shringara Ras. Like there's a famous Muni from maybe 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. His name is Bharat Muni. And he wrote down the whole Natya Shastra and Rasa theology of how when you have a hero and a heroine, a hero, Nayak and a Nayaka, a hero and a heroine in a particular setting, and they exchange in different leelas or pastimes, and so many emotions and experiences and types of love are relished by the hero and the heroine. So he wrote down the whole thing, all the rasa tattvas, the vibhav and the sattvic bhavs and sanchari bhavs, everything he wrote down. So Rupa Goswami based his work, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjala Nilamani, on Bharat Muni's shastra. He's like the compiled the shastra on mundane poetics and mundane drama. So this is another person, another rasic acharya named Rudra Bhatta or Sri Rudra. And he knows all about Shringara Ras, which means that the intimate love of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. He says that the supreme weapons of Cupid, Kandarpa, Panchabana, it's another name for Cupid, Kandarpa, Panchabana, Dumba, they're obstacles. These are obstacles that the heroine uses with her lover, such as her contrary moods. Because the word here is vamata. So it's actually a direct translation. Because it says vamata durlabhatvam. Vamata Vamata means left wing. Vamya, left wing. She shows, oh no, I'm not in. Radharani Krishna plays the flute and Radharani runs out into the forest. And then when she sees Krishna, she, oh, and she turns around, she says, I don't want to meet him. I want to go home. And then she starts going home, and the mantri pulls her cloth. Radharani, I you were so eager to come on Avisar to meet Krishna, and now you've changed your mind. Yes, I should go home. I shouldn't be here. It's too late. It's too dark. What am I doing here? I'm a married woman. So then she starts showing a contrary, this vamata, contrary nature. And then it says, Durlabh, she's very difficult to meet. It's very difficult to meet the wife of some other man because she has responsibilities, domestic responsibilities. Usually she's at home. She's being observed and watched by the mother-in-law and sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and all the seniors in the village. And it was very difficult. So there's great difficulty in meeting. So it's actually, this is exactly the translation of verse 20 in chapter 3, page 696. So the Parakya lovers of Vrindavan, the gopis, they show contrary moods. I'm not interested in you. I don't want to meet you. And they're extremely difficult to meet them because of the prohibitions that society imposes. Chanaka Pandit has said that the Nayak, the hero, the Nayak's heart becomes more deeply attached when he's forbidden to meet his beloved and when the doe-eyed beloved is difficult to attain. That's true everywhere. Whenever you're forbidden, someone says, don't do this, you're not allowed to do this, that's the first thing you want to do. It's forbidden, so it makes it very exciting, difficult to attain. And although Krishna is Atmaram, this is by ontological definition of Bhagavan. He's up to kam and atmaram. He's bliss personified. Rasavai saha. He is ras. He is bliss. He is ramananti. Everything within himself. He doesn't need anything outside of himself. So it's called tattva vichar, view or understanding of Bhagavan and his Aishwarya presentation as God, as omniscient, as the creator, controller. But when he steps into the world of ras, when he steps into the Rasadam, this Premdam of Vrindavan, then it's a whole other thing because at the time of Ras Lila, then he's not Atmaram. He's very greedy. When Ras Lila comes and the pastimes of Vrindavan, he's very greedy. He needs the love. He's not Atmaram. He doesn't have Ram. He wants Raman. He wants Ramani, he wants to be with Ramani Radha and the Braja Ramanis. He's so eager to meet the Braja Ramanis because they fill him with the delight of Raman. And Raman means the intimacy of husband and wife exchanging amorous love affairs. So then he gives up his Atmaram nature. And then it says he's Aptakam. Atmaram means he's bliss. He doesn't need happiness from anyone or any outside source, except when he's in Vrindavan. In the feature of Madhurya Mai Krishna and Damodara Madhav, then he's not Atmaram. And he's not Aptakam means I have no desires to fulfill. I have attained everything I want. I have no Aptakam. Up to within myself, it's already been arranged, it's already happening. So here he has so many desires. He desires yogurt, he desires all kinds of things. He desires to be with the wives of every coward man. That's not very up to calm. Up to calm means I have no calm, I'm free from calm, but he has so much calm. In fact, the very nature of the love of the gopis is called Kamatmika, it's called Kamatmika. And we're following, in Raghunuga Bhakti, it's called Kamanuga. We follow the calm, the intense loving attachment of the gopis for Krishna. We follow that. So Krishna is the instigator of the gopis' calm because he's Kamdev. He's a Prakrita Madan Mohan. He's the Smara Murtiman. Sakshat Manmata. He creates all the desires in his devotees because he himself, in the presence of those loving devotees, he manifests so many desires to accept their love and relish their love and to be with them and receive their service. So he's very much desirous. So he's not blissful within himself and he's not free from desire. Krishna in Vrindavan needs and wants and desires the love of his devotees. And so he's very desirous and very empty, he's unhappy, he cries without the gopis, he cries without the coward boys, he cries without his mother, because he needs their love. So this is the difference of Krishna and Dwarka or Kurukshetra and Krishna and Vrindavan, the gopis. Although Krishna is Atmaram, at the time of Rasa-lila, he manifests as many sarups as there were gopis, then he performed lila with them. Because he wanted to taste the bliss. He wanted the Raman, the bliss of being with those Ramanis, each and every one of them. So that's a nice supplement, which is parallel. It's actually another version of the translation of text 20. And then I have like three different books here of the same translation. So here, verse 20, it says, this is a small review. The Parakya lovers of Krishna may be divided into two groups. Parakya means unmarried. The Kanyas, unmarried girls, and the Paroda, wife of others. For the most part, the Parakya lovers of Krishna reside in Brajabhumi, ruled by King Nanda. The secret love of these Parakya devotees of Krishna gives great transcendental bliss to Krishna, the king of Gokul. The gopis' methods, how do the gopis attract Krishna, is described in the following statement where Lord Shiva says, so here it's Lord Shiva, here it's Sri Rudra, and here it's Rudra Bhatta. So whoever it is, they're connected with Lord Shiva. They're either Brahmins named after Shiva or it's Shiva himself. Either way, they're all telling the truth. And so this translators have different views. So to repeat the same thing, these are the qualities of Krishna's Parakya lovers, the gopis in Vrindavan. Contrariness, playing hard to get, and repulsing the lover's advances are the three ultimate weapons of Cupid employed by the gopis. So that's it. Here it says, coyness, unavailability, and rebuffing. So this is a little hi-fi English, and this is a little more colloquial in this one. You have your choice. Contrariness, playing hard to get. This is very much American colloquial language, by the way, because this is Kushakrata. Kushakrata's translation of 1979, 30, 40 years ago. And this is Bhano Swami from 10 years ago. Language is a little upgraded. Coyness, unavailability, and rebuffing. And here it is, contrariness, playing hard to get, and repulsing the lover's advances. So this is a little more action language here, the American one. Makes sense, they're a little bit aggressive type. But in terms of good word choice, the other one's better, but a little misleading. So now it says, when the doe-eyed gopis play hard to get and reject their lover Krishna's advances, this makes Krishna's heart become intensely attached to them. That's common. That's called male psychology. Krishna is the original male, Purushottam, Lila Purushottam. So the conquering spirit is a big part of a man. He wants to conquer, challenge and conquer. And that type of psyche is not generally prevalent in the female gender. There's a different nature, different psyche. That's why there's differences physically, mentally, emotionally. So if there's a challenge, then, oh, there's a challenge. Let me rise to the challenge. Let me defeat the opponent or accept the challenge. So if a woman just meets a man and immediately offers herself, then it's no fun. It's too easy. But if she said, no, I'm not interested in you. No, and then she plays, it's called playing hard to get. Then he tries to call on the phone and she hangs up. But then he walks somewhere and he sees her and she looks at him in such a way that he actually knows that she's saying no and rejecting me, but actually I think she's saying yes inside. So then there's the challenge, you know, will I win the hand of the fair maiden, or will I go away dejected and cry for the rest of my life? So then the aggressive spirit in man and the challenging spirit is aroused when the lady love plays, she's contrary, shows disinterest, or rebukes him. So Radharani has been thoroughly trained in all these arts. Of course, she's self-manifested also. But the indication is that, especially in Man, her Man Guru is none other than Srimati Lalita Sakhi. And she is the expert at this Bhamata behavior. So in text 21, it says here, that quotes one Shastra, Vishnu Gupta Samhita, when a woman makes a point of resisting and becoming unavailable, the man becomes more deeply attached. So this is the nature of our acharyas everywhere. In all the Shastras we will read, whether it's Brihad Bhagavatamritam or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Bhakti Sandarvas, or anywhere, Chaitanya Charitamrita, even Lord Chaitanya, it begins with Lord Chaitanya. When he'll preach in Bengali, in his native language, Navadvipa Bhasha, and he'll be preaching to someone so many points about Krishna or holy name or any points of Gaudiya Siddhanta, then he's just speaking. Of course, for us, whatever Lord Chaitanya says, in Bengali it says, Prabhu Kahe, Mahaprabhu said. Okay, Mahaprabhu said, for us, Mahaprabhu is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. We fully accept everything he said. But then when we want to spread or share our Siddhanta, our teachings with others, they may not be so accepting of the fact that Lord Chaitanya is God, or accepting that the supreme authority of his statements is being as irrefutable and absolute and perfect. Because we're sold out, we're converts, we're Gaudiyas. So whatever Gauranga says and the Goswamis say, that's gospel, that's truth, that's Praman. That's our ultimate evidence. Goswami Granthas and Mahaprabhu Shiksha, Shikshastakam. But even then, when Mahaprabhu is preaching, then he always follows his Bengali statement with a statement from Bhagavat Puran, Skanda Puran, Bhavishya Uttar Puran. He always quotes one of the Smritis or Shrutis, or the Mahabharata or Gita, not Gita, to support and strengthen his statements and to give authority to them and authenticity, scriptural backing, shastric backing. So this is how, this is the method of teaching Krishna Bhakti or writing about Krishna Bhakti. And this is the method that was employed by Mahaprabhu and all his followers down to the present day. When we read books by any of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, then they make so many statements of their own realizations or their own perceptions or their own experiences in bhajan in relation to various Sanskrit shlokas and texts of the different original scriptures of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But then they state in their own words, and then they support it with a quote from Bhagavatam or Six Goswamis or the ancient Shastras. So that gives power and it creates conviction in the reader, and it gives authenticity and validity to the statements of the pracharak or the preachers. Otherwise, if a person is just speaking and what they say, pontificating, he's pontificating, well, it's like this, it's like that. And many gurus I've seen, many personalities, they become guru, and they somehow the Purusha Abhiman, the Abhiman or the mentality of identity, the sense of self-conceit or self-identity, aham guru, I am guru, I am acharya, I am the teacher, that kind of overwhelms them, so then they just speak. And because they've studied so much and they know so much and they've realized so much and they're so elevated, they don't feel any need to cite references or to back up their statements. So they just speak and speak and speak. And then the disciples, because for the disciples, Narottam Das Thakur, he explains that for the disciples, the words of the guru are pavitram, they're pure and perfect, siddha and pavitram. So he says, guru mukha padma vakya chite te koriya aikya aranat koriya manayash. He says, my only desire is Sri Guru Charana Padma. Everyone knows that prayer, the guru vandanam. He says, my only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from my Sri Guru. So many disciples, they accept every word the Guru said as the absolute perfect truth. And so that's good in one sense, but what the Guru says should also be backed and supported by Shastra. And the very conscientious and responsible traditional Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, when they speak, they're also gurus and they're also teachers, when they speak, they try to support and strengthen all their statements by citing the references from Shastra. That's how we should write books and that's how we should speak. So here, Rupa Goswami is one of the six Goswamis. Whatever Rupa Goswami says in his words, in his own words, in Ujjala Nilamani, we accept that's it. This is a shloka, it's written in Sanskrit. Rupa wrote in Sanskrit. That's good enough, it's perfect, I accept it. But then even he, following the example of Lord Chaitanya, he backs up his statements. And he's not a conditioned soul that's acting as a guru or becomes sadhana siddha. He's a kaya vyuha of Radharani's transcendental antaranga shakti, personal body, Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is directly expanded from Radharani. But even still, to follow the tradition and to be submissive to the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana, they do the same thing, that they write some shastra in their own Sanskrit verses, then they prove and support what they're saying by citing the shastra. So they are the highest authority in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the six Goswamis. And even they don't have this guru abhiman or purusha abhiman, that I am a guru, whatever I say is perfect, and every disciple can quote it, and there's no problem. So that we should be careful when we hear from acharyas or gurus, that are they citing their references? Are they backing up their statements? And they're really, because what happens is because the disciples are sold out to the guru, so whatever the guru says, they hang on every word. And like they say, oh, Gurudev said, and Gurudev said, and Gurudev said, and Gurudev said. And a lot of times, Gurudev never said that, And then if Gurudev said that, is that correct? Is that actually based on Shastra? Because sometimes mistakes are made or misunderstandings. So it's, we should... The Guru is not beyond. The Guru is... The Guru rests. The strength of the Guru is his connection with his Guru and Krishna and the Shastras. This is just one point that he's saying here, because we're being reminded here regularly. Rupa Goswami is saying this Shastra and this person says and he says and he says. And in between that, Rupa Goswami says, so in text, first he said in his own words that if a woman is, if a gopi plays hard to get and shows a contrary mood, that Krishna really likes that. That's his statement. Of course, it's an observable fact, and it's true. The man likes to conquer the woman that's giving a hard time or resisting. So then he backs it up by some very esoteric shastra, but he feels this is the tradition, what we have to uphold is, I made a statement, but not only am I saying it, but also this ancient shastra, which everyone accepts as authorized description of rasa, tattva, etc. It's called Vishnu Gupta Samhita. Then now Rupa Goswami says, ah, what more can be said? Ah, kim vanyad yatastasyam idam eva mahatmuni jago paramahamsayam cha samhitayam svayam sukha. What more can be said? For Shukadeva himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a book for all the paramahamsas, because it says that right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there's a qualifier. Like sometimes you're on the net and some message comes on the net. Stop! Don't download this YouTube. You might get bugs. You might get bugs in your computer. You go to some site and say, no, this is a dangerous site. Watch out. You know, download at your own risk. Have you ever seen anything like that? So the same thing, the Bhagavatam has the same warning in the beginning, 5 or 6 verses. Stop, wait. This is not for everybody. Dharma, he said, Dharma Prajita Kaitavacha, Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Right in the very beginning, it says, Dharma Prajita Kaitavacha. So if you have any cheating, if you're a Kaitav, a cheater, if you have any cheating mentality, or you want to do business with God, or do a trading business, or do a karmakanda business, this is don't do it over here. Go to Ganesh, go to Shiva, go to Durga, go to Indra, go to Surya, do your Surya Upasana, and do your karmakanda wheeling and dealing in business. Do your yagyas and pujas and give and take, and get your wins and give some donation, get some more wins. Because this book is going to be about Krishna, about prema, about braja prema. So there's no room for business. This is cheating. There's no cheating here. This is the Paramahamsa Samhitam. This is supremely pure book of love, ultimately, but also so many tattvas. So he says, Dharma Prochita Kaitavacha Paramo Nirmatsaranam. Shukadeva is writing, the book I'm writing, Srimad Bhagavatam, is only for Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas means munis, rishis, liberated souls, mukta purushas, those that are fully in control of their senses, those that are free from kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya, mada. They're free from kam, I mean lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. And they have no interest in anything material, and they're existing in the highest plane of consciousness, either the savishesh or nirvishesh type of realization. This book is for them. So then he's saying, in this book, which is only for paramahamsas, totally pure devotees, Shukadeva Goswami, who says that this book is only for the paramahamsas, starts talking about the illicit love affairs of Krishna Vrindavan. And this is the very meaning of the whole Bhagavatam. This is the essence of the whole Bhagavatam, is the Rasleela. And it's all about the Gopi Janavallabha. It's all about Krishna being the beloved of the Gopi Vadus, of the young married Gopis of Vrindavan. So what does this mean? That means that this subject matter of Parakiya Bhava, or this subject matter of Krishna and his love affairs of the gopis and the kunjas of Vrindavan is a subject that is not meant for the ordinary people. It's not meant for the degraded people. It's meant for the paramahamsas. And this whole idea or principle that Bhagavan has paramour love, or Bhagavan is not married. Bhagavan is Dharmapati. He's the preacher of Dharma. He establishes Dharma. Yada, yada, yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Bhutanama Dharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyam. Krishna says in Gita, I come to establish Dharma. So in Gita and Kurukshetra, Krishna is preaching and establishing Dharma. And in Vrindavan, Krishna is preaching and establishing the highest Dharma, which is Prem Dharma. In Kurukshetra, it's Sanatan Dharma. And here, it's Raja Prem Dharma. So here, he's preaching, in his preaching of Prem Dharma in Vrindavan, he's preaching that I'm running with the wives of other men. So this is the Dharma that he's teaching in Gita, and the Dharma that Krishna is teaching in other Dharma Shastras is completely violated or turned over upside down in his teachings and lifestyle and activities in Vrindavan, because it's a much higher conception, a much higher relationship with his purest of pure devotees. So this subject of parakya love of Krishna for the gopis is also completely pavitram, completely pure and immaculate and transcendental. And it is the subject matter for the Paramahamsas. And therefore, this book, from beginning to end, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is only for the Paramahamsas. And they can have appreciate this because it's like they're pure and they're totally free from anything material. The parakya love relationships, the paramour love of Krishna gopis is completely non-material, completely transcendental, and completely pure. And anyone that has any contact with Krishna and his Rasa-lila in Vrindavan, he becomes pure, even if he's the most degraded, materialistic, lusty man. That's in the Shruti fall in the Rasa-lila. Says that, kamam ridrogam, bhakti param, labhyate, achireni, denoti achireni dirat, achireni achirena dirat. Says that someone, Sukadeva Goswami says, if someone hears about Krishna's transcendental, pure, immaculate pastimes of the gopis and his paramore love in Vrindavan, ridrogam kamam, one who's suffering from the burning, relentlessly burning fire of lusty desires in the heart, that disease, that pain, that fire will become extinguished and removed and cured by hearing Krishna's pastimes in the parakya love affairs in Vrindavan, depicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Paramahamsa Samhitam. Amalam Puranam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Amalam Puranam. There's no mal, there's no dirt, there's no contamination. So this verse, Rupa Goswami is saying, what more can be said? Even Shukadeva is glorifying this parakya love in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavat Puran. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The word ah, like ah, is an abuse hurled at the materialists. This is an expression of anger or pain. Ah, what do you think? What do you materialists think? What more can be said? Even Shukadeva, the great Paramahamsa Muni, Shukadeva, Brahmavadi, totally liberated soul, became devotee. He's telling that this Bhagavatam, which is for the Paramahamsas, he's glorifying the gopis' love. And Vishwanath is saying, which is interesting. So Vishwanath is saying, Rupa Goswami here, the author of this book, Ujjwala Nilamani, he's showing anger towards anyone who supports Swakiya love. That's the subjective view of Vishwanath, because he's well aware that even earlier in this same book, Jiva Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, in his purports, he was supporting the Swakiya love that Radha and Krishna are married. He was supporting that. So that's not really the conclusion of Rupa or the other six Goswamis, so, or Vishwanath. So he takes a chance here to team up with Rupa Goswami against anyone who may be against Parakya Bhav, like the commentator that's sitting right above Vishwanath Jiva Goswami. The author shows his anger towards those like his cousin, like his nephew, because Rupa Goswami is the uncle of Jiva Goswami. That's Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead, you know, so it's off stage. Sukadeva, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva has loudly glorified the parakya love of the gopis without any fear. So Chakravartipat hits it right home, right to the point. This is, that was text 23. Catch up on this translation. What other pastimes were enjoyed by Krishna and the gopis? They are all described by the great sage Sri Shukadeva Goswami in the Paramahamsa Samhitam. He said in the 10th canto, even though Krishna was self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, still Krishna enjoyed pastimes of rasa dance with the gopis. So that's text 23. Atmanam kritva tavantam atmanam yavatir gopa yoshita reme sa bhagavam stabir atmaramo pililaya. He says he's Atmaram, expanding himself as many times as there were gopis. Krishna, although self-satisfied, Atmaram, he enjoyed. So self Atmaram means you're all satisfaction is in me. I don't have to get any satisfaction from outside. I'm not looking for any happiness from outside. I don't need any happiness from outside. It's all in me. Like they say in the Bible, the kingdom of God is within thee, is inside of thee. So the kingdom of God means eternality. The kingdom of God means eternal bliss. The kingdom of God means eternal cognizance or awareness or perception, total light, knowledge, and no ignorance or darkness or confusion or doubts. So this is the kingdom of God. So that is the nature of transcendence, Satchitananda. So that Satchitananda reality of the Atman, Paramatma, and the whole spiritual domain is all inside. So it is a fact. The kingdom of God is within you. So Krishna is Atmaram. So he has all this self-satisfaction. He doesn't need any happiness from anywhere else. But still he dances with the gopis. So the gopis' love is so great. They're Premvasibhut. Premvasibhut means the power to control Krishna. Their love has the power to control Krishna. Their love is so great that it conquers his Atmaram nature. It makes him thirsty and anxious to be with them. He doesn't want to enjoy anything. All he's enjoying within himself, absolutely. But still he wants to enjoy with the Braja Gopis. And that verse is quoted in Bhakti Sandarbha. Kartam, akartam, anyakartam, sa ishvara. Krishna can do it this way, or Krishna can do it another way, or still he can do it another way. Why or how? Because he's Ishvara, sa ishvara. Because he is the supreme controller. So he's Atmaram and Aptakam. He has no desires and he's full of bliss internally, naturally, inherently within himself. So that's kartam. But then akartam, then it can also be, oh, I have so many desires and I need you for my happiness. So that can also be there because these are the unlimited sides and facets of God. You can't limit God or you can't suppress God or say, no, you have to be like this. That's why we say, well, in the Gaudiya conception, when we analyze any tattvas or any aspects of Leela of Krishna, everywhere this principle is universally applicable to Leela, to Tattva Siddhanta. The concept of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. The simultaneous, inconceivable oneness and difference. Yes, Krishna is one, but he's also different. So everything, everywhere you'll see. Yes, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. This is the viewpoint of the Goswamis. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very clear in the Sanskrit verses, Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he goes to Mathura, from Mathura he goes to Dwarka, he never comes back. That's what the Bhagavatam says. But the Goswamis, they love Krishna too much, and they never want to see him out of Vrindavan. So they give different commentaries and tikkas and to explain, no, Krishna went to Akruragat. He went to Akruragat, which is the border of Mathura and Vrindavan. He was riding on the chariot of Akrura, Krishna Balaram. And there, Akrura went in the Yamuna to bathe at noon and follow the maryada of chanting his anik or whatever, his sandhya vandanam. Then Krishna Balaram went and played in the Yamuna. And then they went back to the chariot. And then Akrura saw in the Yamuna, he saw Sankarshan, he saw Anantashesh, he saw Vishnu lying on Anantashesh. Vishnu is Krishna, Anantashesh is Balaram. Then he went back to the chariot and he saw Krishna Balaram sitting there. And then he went back to the Yamuna. So what happened is our acharyas, Goswami, say that at that juncture, Krishna Balaram got off the chariot and went back to dance with the gopis and be with the coward boys for time eternal. And then Anantashesh, the expanded form Balaram, Anantashesh, the expanded form of Krishna Vishnu, they went off and killed demons in Mathura and Dwarka and became kings and all those kind of leelas, Kurukshetra, etc. Kurukshetra, etc. Kurukshetra. Maybe it comes from there. Kshetra comes from etc. I don't know. Whatever. Who knows? Or the other way around, rather. So this is how Krishna can do and not do, or do another way. Do or undo. Why is Krishna, why is God bad? God is bad, but he's also good. Why don't you say, why is God good? No one argues or cries about or complains about God being good. Oh, God gave me health. God made me very healthy. God made me very beautiful. God made me very wealthy. God gave me so many beautiful fruits and nuts and flowers and so many beautiful clothes and so many beautiful places and so many beautiful places to go on vacation. God gave me all these good things. Oh, we never say that. Oh, God made war. God is bad. He makes war and death and disease and terrorism. He's very bad. He's everything. God is good. God is bad. God is everything. Everything includes everything. So the text 23 is telling, he said that he's self-sufficient, he enjoys pastimes. And in Vishnu Chakravarti, he gives a tika to this verse, expanding himself as many times as a coward voice. Krishna was unable to neglect even one of the gopis because of his extreme attachment to them. So he's optikam. He has no desire. He doesn't need anybody else. But he needs each and every single gopi. So that's, he doesn't just dance with Radharani. He expands himself. If tonight there's 1,000 gopis in the rasa dance, there'll be 1,000 Krishnas. And tomorrow, if there's 2,000 gopis, there'll be 2,000 Krishnas. He expands himself, one form for every gopi. And that same principle is there in the third canto of Bhagavatam. And also discussed in the Bhakti Sandarbha by Sri Jiva Goswami. He says, Krishna has expanded from his transcendental form. Krishna in Vaikuntha Goloka Vrindavan has expanded unlimited. He, from himself, he's expanded unlimited numbers of Vaikuntha Murtis, spiritual bodies. And with each one of those spiritual bodies or spirit souls or liberated souls, in those spiritual bodies, Krishna enjoys pastimes, or Vishnu, or Ram, Narayan, etc. So therefore, as Krishna, every gopi, every time some gopi or mandri, they become siddha, and they enter the Boma Vrindavan Leela of Krishna. Well, for that gopi that's in the Sakivab, there will be one Krishna dance ready there. Krishna will expand himself into one Krishna to dance so that Navasaki, that Navamandri, they will have their own Krishna. So Krishna never stops expanding. He always increases his attachment to his Braja devotees. So he expands into unlimited forms. And then it says, text 24 says, those who desire auspiciousness should perform bhakti of Krishna bhakti, but they should never imitate Krishna's lila. This is the conclusion of the Shastras. And then he's just speaking about, for some reason, he's reminding us not to take on the practice of a hungropasana. In the Rag Marg, sometimes in Vidhi Marg, people may identify that way. They want the form of Vishnu. They want the form of Vishnu, so they start identifying with the form of Vishnu, and they're doing Vaidhi Sadhana with the desire to attain Sarupya. Sarupya Mukti means to attain a form like Vishnu and the Vaikuntha planets. And they do, they get that form. So that's what they want. They want that. But that's called Ahangropasana. Aham means I, and Upasana means to worship. I worship myself as God. So this in Raghavardhan Chandrika, Vishnu Chakravarti is telling that these are some of the things that are abandoned in Raghunuga Bhakti. We never think that we're Krishna. I want to be Krishna. I want to dance with the gopis like Krishna. We never think that we want the form of Krishna. That's not acceptable in the Braj. Krishna is one. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Vritya. there is one Supreme Lord and everyone else is servant. So then Rupa Goswami cites the Bhagavatam to show that don't try to imitate Krishna, it's not a good idea. Even Shukadeva Goswami says that in the Rasalila chapter, when he's concluding Rasalila chapter and tying it up and summarizing it, and just trying to remind everyone that don't try to do this with your, don't try to get 50 girlfriends and go in the forest and start dancing around like Krishna. Because Shukadeva Goswami says, one who's not an Ishvara, if you're not an Ishvara, a great controller like Shiva or Krishna, you should never imitate the behavior of these great controllers, even in your dreams or even think about it. If an ordinary person foolishly tries to imitate Krishna, what will happen? He'll just destroy himself. Just like someone who's not Shiva will die if he drinks an ocean of poison. So they're powerful. They can get away with these things. They can do these things. They're gunatit. They're gunatit. They're beyond the modes of nature. Brahma Bhuta Prasnatman. Oh no, what's that verse? Mamchayo Bichnarina Bhakti Yogena Sevate. Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kapate. Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kapate. These great Ishwaras and controllers, the Samatit, the Gunas, they have conquered the modes of nature. They're liberated. Of course, they're also God. Krishna is God himself. And Shiva is also a form of God. Vishnu Tattva, Sada Shiva. So no one can imitate their powers. So Rupa is just reminding us, so we're repeating it. And then he quotes another verse from chapter 33 of the Rasalila. And verse 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 36. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashrita. Bhajate tadrishi krida yashutva tatparo bhavet. Krishna, in order to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan. Why? Because if human beings hear these, they will become devotees. Shutva tatpara krida tadrishi. If human beings hear about Krishna's pastimes, they will become devotees. Jiva Goswami comments, devotees who hear Krishna Leela will increase their devotion for him. This is the nature of Krishna's pastimes. And then he quotes this famous verse that we indicated from the Rasalila chapter. It's considered the Fal Shruti or the blessing verse. If you recite these five chapters of the Rasalila, then this blessing will come by the mercy of Shukadeva Goswami and the literary incarnation of Krishna, known as Vyasadeva. Vikriyit is the same as the Brahma Samhita. This is 10:33:39. Vikriyitam vrachabudu biridam shavishno shadanvital nishrinayat atavarna yadhya. Bhaktim param bhagavati prati labhya kamam ridrogamash ashvapi hinoti yachirena dira. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord, anyone who faithfully hears or describes Krishna's playful affairs with the gopis of Braj, he will attain pure bhakti, bhakti param, bhagavati, gopika bhakti, braja bhakti. And then when that pure bhakti comes inside of him, two things will happen. By hearing Krishna Leela with the gopis, first, one becomes pure. He says he attains pure devotional service. The first thing that happens when you hear about Krishna with the gopis, if you're a devotee and you're following the principles and you have full faith in the leelas and identity of Krishna and the gopis, the transcendence and purity of it all, that's called shraddha anvita, shraddha. That means this special form of faith, which includes purity and lifestyle and also full belief in the content of Shastra and the transcendental nature of Krishna's Leela. So one believes this and feels this and accepts this. If such a person hears and describes Krishna Leela with the gopis, then he attains pure bhakti, praja bhakti, bhakti param, not just bhakti, not pure, it's his param. So the commentators on this verse, Jiva Sanat and Vishwanath, and Srila Prabhupada also, by the way, in the Krishna book where he's commenting on this verse, they say that this Bhakti Param Bhagavati means the supreme love of the gopis in Vrindavan. This is the topmost form of bhakti, this is the topmost form of devotion and love. So that one attains first. Now I have that. Just like you have so many problems, so many bills, so many physical health problems, and so many, you just have to pay a lot of bills. You took a lot of loans. Now suddenly you get $20 million. So now you can, once that money comes to you, once you have that $20 million, then you can easily finish off all your bills and all your debts and loans. Everything is finished very quickly. That happens secondarily. So the primary thing that happens is that you get a windfall. You win the lottery or you get $20 million. Then once you have that asset, once you have that wealth and that purchasing power, then you liquidate and solve all your other debts and problems. So this is what this verse is saying, 10:33:39, that you get this thing first. You get this Braja Prem, Bhakti Param, Labhyate. Labhyate means you acquire, you receive, you attain, love. This comes first. And once you have that, then what happens? You dissolve all your debts. You pay all your bills. And what are your bills? Lust. Everyone has a big bill called lust. The lust bill. All I see, well, let me add up here. 27, 49, 27. Big long list of groceries. Then this is your lust bill. You lust after this. And you lust after women. You lust after money. You lust after position. You lust after fame. All of so many things. That goes. Love of Krishna comes by hearing his loving pastimes of the gopis, then the enemy of that love of Krishna, the worst enemy, the biggest enemy of love of Krishna is lust for Maya. We have love of Krishna and lust for Maya. Only two choices. So when we read these intense, intimate, amorous affairs of Krishna, the Parakya loving affairs of Krishna, the gopis, it's so high topic, so powerful, such high voltage, that immediately shorts out and short circuits all the low-voltage material desires we have and all the dirt in the heart, because the purity is so great and the power is so strong that all the weak, the rid rogam, it says, kamam rid rogam. Rid means heart. Rogi. Prabhupada used to speak on takes. There's three kinds of people, the yogi, bogi, and rogi. So the yogi is the self-control. The yogi, bhakti yogi, or gyan yogi. And bogi is a sense enjoyer. And a rogi is a diseased person. So, of course, Prabhupada used to say, don't be a rogi, be a yogi. And not an ordinary yogi, but the best of all yogis, the bhakti yogi. Yogi nam api sarvesham madgatanetanatana. So this is the power of that. That first what happens is he cures his heart disease. If you have a heart disease, the doctor says you can die any moment now. So this is, you better take some medicine. So the heart disease we're all suffering from is lust. So we take this medicine, oshadi, and then, because it says here, it just says it's the medicine, it will cure. Then the second thing is, it becomes peaceful, it becomes dhira jana priyakaro. The six Goswamis were so Krishna conscious and so much in love with Krishna that the rough people and dhira, the peaceful Brahmins and the sujanas and bhujanas and the good people, the sajanas, they liked them. And even the bad people and the dacoits, I also liked the six Goswamis because they were transcendental. They didn't threaten anybody and they didn't disturb anybody. Dhira. So you become dhira, you become peaceful. Because why aren't we peaceful? Why are we diseased? The same reason that why we're not peaceful is because we're diseased. When you have a disease, you can't be peaceful. Like the first doctor says, guess what? You have this disease and you're going to die in 1 month. Okay, that's nice. Good news. I'm so peaceful. You won't be very peaceful. You'll be extremely agitated. So the disease which is agitating us and driving us on and goading us on, life after life, is nothing other than calm. Calm is driving us on and on. It is nothing but calm. So that lust, when that goes, then so goes all the disturbance goes, all the anxiety goes, all the disease goes. So when the disease of lust goes, then you become dhīra, you become peaceful. So if you're suffering from a deadly disease, and then suddenly you recover, or the disease remits itself or disappears, the doctor says, guess what? Somehow or other, I don't know what happened. It must be your Krishna's mercy, your God's grace. Your malignant cancer has stopped multiplying. It's actually getting smaller. And soon it will disappear. And you'll have no threat of cancer. You're A-OK. Oh, I'm so happy. Didn't you become peaceful? Because you had that fear of death, impending death and destruction by disease has been removed. So when that destruction by lust is removed from the heart, because we're all being destroyed by, we're being consumed, burned, and destroyed by our lusty desires. When that's removed from the heart, then we become peaceful, shanti. And this is what Shukadeva Goswami is promising and guaranteeing. Bhaktim pram bhagavati pratilabhya kamam. Pratilabhya says, parabhakti pratilabhya, you attain it. At every step you're getting it. It's coming, every step. Pratilabhya. Prati means step after step, moment after moment. Then what? That's coming, the love is coming in, and kamam ridrogam apinoti achirina. And then this love of Krishna is coming in, and then the lust is running out. And we'll finish Krishna's commentary. He says, the independent activities of Krishna are for the benefit of the devotee. To show mercy to his devotees, Krishna performs such pastimes as the Rasleela, which I comment sometimes. I find it very odd that there are some spiritual missions where they distribute thousands and lakhs and thousands of Krishna books in many languages all around the world. And in the Krishna book, it tells all about Krishna and the gopis and Rasleela and all these intimate, amazing pastimes. But I've heard, and I'm aware of, that some of the leaders in that mission, they tell their followers, don't read the Krishna book, or don't read the 10th canto, or don't read Krishna's Leela, the gopis. But yet any karmi that buys a book, he's free to read it. I bought the book in 1974, when I was not a devotee, and I read a Krishna book, and I loved it. And because of the Krishna book, and because of the Leelas of the gopis, and the Vrindavan Leela, that's why I thought, I want to be part of this Krishna bhakti. I want to serve this Krishna that dances with the gopis under the moonlight in the forest of Vrindavan. That sounds very attractive to me. I like the taste of it. I like the ring of it. So here we are. Here we all are. So we were given that nectar, although we were highly unqualified and completely diseased with lust. So now we're a little more qualified and a little less diseased because we're trying to practice. So it started there, and it will continue to be nourished by the same source that initiated our practice of bhakti. So the 10th canto and the Krishna book is always a source of nourishment and replenishment at any time for a devotee, especially the Prajlila of Krishna and the gopis. That's the top. So it's for mercy. It's to show mercy. Otherwise, why bother? Why is Krishna bother coming here to show? A person who has taken a human body, manusham deyamashrita, when he hears these pastimes, he becomes completely dedicated to the Lord. These pastimes are Krishna with the gopis. Vishnu says they have a special power, like jewels, and mantras or herbs, like Ayurvedic medicine is herbs. They produce, well, rasayanas and all these special medicines. They produce complete dedication to the Lord. They do not create sinful effects. I heard a very nice point by my teacher, because sometimes people say, "Oh, if you're lusty, if you read Krishna's Rasleela, or you read about Krishna's Leela with the gopis, these pastimes they will create lust in you. You'll become lusty if you read these pastimes about Krishna with the gopis." And my teacher explained, "It's not the point. It's not really what's happening. He said, if a person reads about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna with the gopis, if a person reads that and he gets Purusha Vikar, which means male transformations, if the person is a man or, say, female. He becomes sexually agitated or becomes sexually disturbed by reading about Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes. The fault is not the pastimes. The fault is not the Shastra, not the pastimes. The fault is inside of you. Even Jesus said that, don't criticize the speck of dust in somebody else's eye, but remove the splinter from your own eye first. We have a big splinter, a big piece of wood stuck in our eye, and we can't see, and we're saying, oh, you have a little, well, in your eye, there's a little piece of dust. So the, because I've heard people say that, I can't read the Christian book at all. It will make me lusty. No, it won't make it. It's not what the Acharyas are saying. It's not what Shukadeva Goswami is saying. These books are completely transcendental. They will take out the lust. They will purify the lust. So if someone reads these books and he does become disturbed or agitated, it's not the fault of the book. It's the fault of the person. Because that person is so degraded and has so much bad karma and so much lust that just a little bit of reminder, by reading a little bit of a reminder of some very small dealings with Krishna and the gopis in an intimate way, he becomes gets disturbed. So that's that person is extremely unfortunate, resident of Kali Yuga. But if someone is an average, moral, religious person, has a balanced mind, if he reads all these pastimes, they're given. Krishna showed these leelas for conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. They're written about by Vyasadeva in the beginning of Kali Yuga. So the hopelessly conditioned souls would read about them and get free from lust. So most conditioned souls, like all of us, can read these pastimes and be truly and powerfully benefited and purified and elevated and increase our attachment for Krishna by doing so. And that's what the Acharyas say. But in every rule, there's always exception. So this is the general rule for most civilized, cultured human beings. This such reading and such exposure will have an extremely positive and purifying effect and devotional impact and transformation. But there may be that one or two or few that if they read, so then they should not read. They should avoid. So this is what I was told. Because I've heard some people say, this chapter is too high, it's too intimate. If I read that, I'll become sexually agitated. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, he was walking and his father was chasing him. He was a Paramahamsa, he was a Brahmavadi. He saw everywhere Brahman. Vidyavanaya Sampane Brahmani Gavani Supakicha Pandita Samadarshana. Wherever he looked, he just saw the Atman, he just saw Atma, Paramatma, Atma, Paramatma. He didn't see elephant, he didn't see tiger, he didn't see cobra, he didn't see woman, he didn't see man, he was Atma Drishti. Atma Drishti, Atma Drishti, everywhere Atma. He doesn't see all Russian, he doesn't see upadis or destinations, everywhere Atma, Paramatma, everywhere Brahman. The Shukadeva Goswami. Then he heard some two verses from the Bhagavatam spoken by the disciples of Vyasadeva, his father. Then he became attracted and he is Atmaram Chamunio. He's an Atmaram Muni, but he gave it up to worship the personality of Godhead. So when he was walking, there were some ladies bathing in a lake. There's a Pokhor, special bathing lake, only for ladies to bathe. And so in the villages, their tradition is they bathe naked some places. So all the ladies were standing there in the lake, and they were naked. And they saw this, he's a young boy, he's 16, he was healthy, he was strong, beautiful, dark, light grayish-blue complexion like Krishna, long, black silky hair, lotus eyes, totally naked, nagna. He was just walking like this, everywhere seeing Brahman. And so they looked and they didn't feel any bad vibes. They didn't feel any bad vibes from Shukadeva or any lusty imports or innuendos. He didn't see them. He just saw, and they didn't feel any need to cover themselves. And just a few hundred meters behind them, because he's old, Shukadeva's young, 16. His father is running. So as soon as they saw his father, he's a married person. He has children. He's Vyasadeva. He's a sage. He's married. So then Vyasadeva was not in that type of consciousness, so they perceived, the ladies perceived that he sees duality. He was making a differentiation. These are young ladies, these are old ladies. So then they covered themselves, and these points were made in the Bhagavatam, in the Tikkas. So this So there they are, they're all naked ladies, but because his consciousness is pure, he's not disturbed. Whereas Vyasadeva, there's some disturbance on both sides. So to prevent that disturbance, they immediately, of course, cover themselves, those ladies cover themselves with clothes. So these very intimate pastimes of Krishna, you can never blame the Shastras. Krishna has given us these Shastras as medicine for the very disease we're suffering from. But some people are suffering so badly from a disease, no medicine will cure them. In a material analogy, sometimes, oh, I'm sorry, you have your disease is too far gone. It's at the highest level. You can just go to the holy dham and chant the holy name and Haribol, you're finished. You're dying. So that's materially. But we have medicine over here. If you can't take this rasayana, bhakti rasayana of the Ras Lila and the intimate pastimes, okay, then take this one lakh of japa every day. Chant japa every day, or you read Gaur Lila, study Gaur Lila. Gaur Lila and Nittai Lila. Or you study Krishna Lila with the coward boys and other Lilas like this, or even Lilas with the gopis, but just Julan Lila and Jal Keli and Pasha Kela and all these type of Lilas. So that stay with the Lilas of Krishna and Vrindavan with the gopis, but just step down from the most intimate, maybe for the individual, somewhat disturbing Lilas, but continue to read about Krishna's Lilas with the gopis, if that's your innate, or let's say, acquired attraction. So he says, they're very powerful, like some rasayana medicines in Ayurveda or some mantras. And he quotes the same verse. Then Vishnu says, he concludes, after citing a few verses from Bhagavatam about the glorious appearing Krishna's Lila, Vishnu Chakravarti says, just by hearing constantly and becoming attached and addicted to any topics of Krishna, one will attain spiritual perfection. And, that's interesting, he says, one will attain perfection, one will attain siddhi or perfection. However, if one hears, he says, any topics of Krishna, even killing demons or Kurukshetra, you'll become perfect and pure. But if you hear the topics of Krishna and the Ras Lila, then you'll attain an even higher perfection. Because if you hear the Kurukshetra Lilas and pastimes of Krishna, that's also Krishna Katha. And you become attached to that, and you worship that, and you meditate in that, and you follow that. That's very good. You'll attain spiritual perfection. You'll go to Vaikuntha, and you'll have the mood of Dasyarati with Krishna and Vaikuntha. So that's very powerful. You attain perfection. But that's not the highest perfection, nor is that the highest plane of the spiritual dimension. The highest level or plane of the spiritual dimension is Goloka Vrindavan, and that's proved by the space odyssey of Gopal Kumar traveling throughout the different levels of consciousness and different planes of existence, from this earthly planet to the higher planets, to the Vaikuntha planets, to finally Goloka Vrindavan, and the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. So the highest perfection, the highest topics of Krishna bring the highest perfection. So what do you want? You want Vaikuntha? You want Goloka? So we want Goloka Vrindavan. So we'll hear some more tomorrow from this Ujjal Nilamani. There's not too many days left of class. Purnima is the last class.